Well, now I'm not sitting in my multi-million dollar studio in the safety and security of Ohio. I'm coming to you from a rented car in Capernaum Studios in Dallas, Texas. Second day here. Sorry for the poor lighting and everything we're trying to deal with here and whether the internet comes in and out. Doing the best I can here. I've had a great, great couple days with John Diamond and my new friend Fred Mosley, and met a lot of other really, really good good folks. I spoke to you yesterday, and we were in a little bit of the chat here before we got rolling on the show. Man, there's a lot of different kinds of Christianity out there, folks. A lot of different kind. And maybe at some point I'll just do a show just on that. Because the Bible says that not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. So I could do a teaching on the kingdom. We don't even understand that. The discussion we were having before we came on the air today is, what do you do when you get saved? What's next? What's next when you get saved? What do you do next? And I think most Christians probably can't even answer that, right? Yeah, Vinny. Thanks, Vinny, for throwing that up on the screen. I gotta give you fair notice. I've been warning you, folks. Well, I got my second strike from YouTube yesterday. They may strike us out here today. By second strike, I mean, I don't know if Jared can put his headphones on. The YouTube said one more strike and you're out. Meaning what? They take down your channel. And I said to Jared, because they contacted him, not me. I said, Jared, what? Were they mad I was talking about masonry? Is that what it was about? See, I might get struck right now, right? Could happen right now. Could be gone. Jared said, no, wasn't that. It was, what was it, Jared? False information or unverified
medical?
What did they say, Jared?
Medical misinformation.
Medical misinformation. I can't even remember what I gave yesterday. It was medical misinformation. Now, here's one of the things you know. It could have been from four years ago. they go back and search with some of those algorithms. I don't know where it came from. So I'm telling you over and over and over and over again, you're going to watch the show, be part of the huddle here. You're going to have to get used to going to CoachDaveLive.com and signing in, because the day is coming and coming very, very soon when we're not going to be on YouTube anymore. It'll just happen. I don't want to know why it happened. They'll give us some lame screen. Jared tried to appeal it. Jared got a hold of the YouTube folks. Nope. So it's coming, all right? It's coming. Know that. Hey, I'm heading to Oskaloosa. Sorry, man, all of a sudden my picture went really bad here. Just stop using YouTube. Look, that's easy to do, except everybody goes to YouTube. Everybody looks for you on YouTube, and then my inbox fills up. Where are you today on YouTube? And no matter how much I say, first of all, why would you be watching YouTube and supporting them? Why would you do that? Don't watch the show. Come to Coach Dave Live and watch the show. Don't go to YouTube. Got some habits. I got to shut up because I got a good, really good show for you. I'm going to Oskaloosa, Iowa this weekend, Super Bowl Sunday. I'll be speaking out with Denny Bryan and his huddle group up there. Honored to be able to do that. I saw it's going to be like 10 below zero. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Wow, that's a bad signal.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Joe.
Okay, I was going to say maybe each one of us could put in our descriptors of who we are on YouTube, because we all have accounts with YouTube.
Yeah. And
if you can't find us, go to CoachDaveLive.com.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
Give people direction to get there.
It's coming fast, man. It is. It's coming faster than we know. So, there's my screen. I want to make sure. Go sign up for our emails. Please do that. It helps us to connect people, and we're getting ready to start some regional huddles here, and we need to be able to connect people. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com and go to sign up. It's really, really simple. Just give us your name, your address. Your name, your email. You don't have to give us your phone number if you don't want to. But we're trying to put together a team. We got to know who's on the team and how to be able to connect them. So do that, okay? And, I want to move forward here. Got a couple guests with us today. I got a couple things I want to show you here quickly, slowly, however it is. I had about up to my ears with this transgender stuff. It's really something we haven't spoken about, okay? We haven't really we really haven't spoken a whole lot, spoken, whatever the word I want to use, about what's going on with the destruction of all gender roles, specifically male athletes running in female races. And nobody griping or moaning about it. Yesterday, I was watching, came across something. Rand Paul, pull that up there if you can, Spence. I know you can. Rand Paul yesterday questioned the new aficionado, or a new guy who's going to be the head of Homeland Security. Rand Paul grilled him yesterday. And I want you to watch this squirmy, slimy, never say any truths, wiggle room. How can you be, folks, how can you be for equal protections under the laws, Title IX, and then make exceptions for something that's not even, it's not even anything, right? So this is about, move it up if you can, Spencer, at about 1.5. And I want you to listen to Ron Paul. Just ask some very simple questions to this future Secretary of Education regarding men and girls sports. And listen how this squirmy, slimy public official won't answer the question.
Right. Sent a letter to Connecticut saying that boys can't compete with girls in sports, or they shouldn't be forced to allow boys to compete in girls' sports. If you're confirmed, will you enforce that Office of Civil Rights opinion?
Hello, Senator. Thank you for the question. I understand that there are a lot of concerns about that. It's if confirmed, it's my responsibility and my privilege to make sure that we're following our civil rights of all students. And that includes activities that they may engage in high school or in athletics.
What do you think in general about boys running in girls' track meets like they've been doing in Connecticut?
I think that it's critically important that education systems and educators respect the rights of all students, including students who are transgender, and that they are afforded the opportunities that every other student has to participate in extracurricular activities.
Does it bother you that, like, the top 20% of boys running in track meets beat all of the girls in the state, and that it, you know, would be, you know, completely destroy girls' athletics, that girls are being pushed out, they don't make the finals in the state meet, they don't get college scholarships, that it's really detrimental to girls' sports? Do you worry about having boys running girls' track meets?
You know, I recognize and appreciate the concerns and the frustrations that are expressed. I've, as Commissioner of Education, have had conversations with families who have felt the way you just described it, and families of students who are transgender. So I understand that this is a challenge. I look forward to working with you and others to.
Do you think it's fair to have boys running in the girls' track meet?
I think it's appropriate for. I think it's the legal responsibility of schools to provide opportunities for students to participate in activities, and this includes students who are transgender.
So you don't have a problem then with boys running in the girls' track meet, swimming meets, name it. You're okay then with boys competing with girls?
Respectfully, Senator, I think I answered the question. I believe schools should offer the opportunity for students to engage in extracurricular activities, even if they're transgender. I think that's their right.
All right. Well, a lot of us think that that's bizarre, you know, not very fair. You know, I come from a family that has a lot of girls who have competed in college athletics, have been state champions, and frankly, you know, some boy that's 6'2" competing against my 5'4" niece doesn't sound very fair. I think most people in the country think it's bizarre, you know, that it's just completely bizarre and unfair that people, and you're going to run the Department of Education, you've got no problem with it. That concerns me, and I think it's, this kind of thing is going to lead to really just the vast majority of America just wondering, who are these people that think it's okay? From what planet are you from? I mean, to think it's okay that boys would compete with girls in a track meet, that somehow would be fair. I wonder where feminists are on this. I wonder where the people who supported women's sports are on this. I mean, we all going to be okay with hulking 6'4" guys, you know, wrestling against girls, doing, you know, it just makes no sense whatsoever. And so I think the fact that you seem to be afraid to answer the question, or you basically do answer the question by saying it's okay without saying it's okay, really is a statement to a real problem we have, and a disconnect between what middle America and what most Americans actually believe. I even think most Democrats don't believe girls should run in the boys' track meet. You know, boys should run in the girls' track meet. So I'm disappointed in the answer, and I just can't imagine that we're going to have a policy like that nationally.
What a snake! What a snake! What a snake! Guys like this are snakes. They're snakes. Now listen, I got a lot more stuff I want to be as we go through this. I've got David Arthur joining us today, and Mike Heath. And I want to start with Mike Heath, because Mike is the former leader, president of the Christian Civic League of Maine. I can remember when I first met Mike about, I don't know, gone on 20 years now, I suppose, Mike. This was your issue, man. This is what the Christian Civic League of Maine was fighting against. And I'll never forget, Mike, that you guys coined the phrase. I first heard it from you, Mike. Equal rights, not special rights. Equal rights, not special rights, right? Mike.
Yes, sir.
So give us a little bit of this history in Maine. Is David Arthur in here with us? I haven't seen him because of I want to get David in here too. So, okay, great, Dave. Good to hear from you, brother. Thanks. Come on in, Mike. Give us a little bit of this history stuff that we're. Hey, folks. You say, Coach, this isn't biblical. Folks, this is at the heart of Christianity. This right now is at the heart of Christianity. How does the church deal with this issue? What does the Bible say about it? How does the church deal with this? I'm sorry, man. Well, I got to be careful. YouTube will ban us, right? This ain't even science. Go ahead, Mike.
So the key, Coach, is to go on offense. The reason that I support you and the reason I fell in love, right? On this issue, I probably shouldn't use that word with you.
That's
right?
Okay, man. It's good. Yeah. Love's a good thing, Mike. Love.
The reason I fell in love with your ministry and your style, your tone and style, that's why. Anyway, I could go down so many rabbit trails, is because you are on the offense. And so the Christian Civic League of Maine, which at the time I came to it in the late 1980s, was 90 years old and a respected institution in the state of Maine, still is, goes all the way back to 1897. To its credit, it studied this issue deeply at the board level, prayed about it, and decided that if we continued to play defense, now this was in the late 80s, Coach.
Wow.
If we continued to play defense, we were going to lose. And then we analyzed it and we said, if we go on the offense as a lobbying organization and we go into the state house, we realized at that point in Maine that the politics and the legislature and the governor's office, that the whole political culture had become so corrupt on this issue, on the whole issue, the whole matter of human sexuality, that we would lose and we would waste good people's money. And so we decided to take a populist approach. What was that? Well, what that looked like in Maine was we were going to use the referendum to appeal to the public, to make our arguments in public on a ballot. We would gather signatures and then we would put the issue on the ballot. And anyway,
because Mike, they were really, as I said, you coined the phrase, they were looking for special rights, not equal rights. Isn't that true, Mike? Go a little bit in depth on that if you could. What you meant by that?
Well, it took 10 years for us to come up with those four words. You know, that sounds like how stupid could you be, right, to take 10 years. But it really takes hard work to do politics, Coach. It takes really hard work to think to where you need to be, especially in terms of your bumper sticker. When you're doing political work, and Christians Christians stopped doing political work a century ago, from Christianity broadly defined, stopped taking politics seriously a century ago because we started saying, well, you can't mix religion and politics, separate, which is a lie from the pit of hell.
Sure.
So fortunately, God honored me with the call to serve the Christian Civic League of Maine. And after 10 years, we came up with equal rights, not special rights. The other side went nuts, but I had no problem defending it. The other side went nuts because they said, you stole our phrase. They felt like they felt like they owned equal rights. And I just simply said, you don't. And what you're promoting is actually special rights. And then I would define what I meant by that. And so we won. And we won and we won and we won. So Soros sent in millions of dollars and they saw Alinsky'd us, right? They made it personal. They went door to door. They spent millions in Maine because they realized they do politics, Coach. They do it. They realized that they could spend a little bit of money, which was in the millions. They could spend a little bit of money in Maine and learn how to win a populist campaign.
And by the way, Mike, their victory in that political realm was a victory in the cultural war. See, the cultural war is played out through politics. I don't know when we're going to wake up and understand this, right?
Yeah.
And so they bullied, they played the game well, and now they've bullied it. And we really are in this transgender issue in particular, looking at special rights. Some guy wants to have special rights to go run against the girls. Right.
Yeah. And clearly that's special rights. I mean, Rand Paul that's the point he was making. He says, look, middle America thinks that you're weird. You guys are weird. They think that you're giving special rights for something that's morally wrong. And so what we want is equal rights. That's what I would, that's what I argued. And that's the truth, coach. That's the truth.
That's Title IX, by the way. I'm going to pull that up here in a second. Let me jump across the river there. And let's go to David Arthur. And Dave, good to see you, man. Good to hear from you. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, David has a ministry, where, he spent 30, I guess maybe numbers, David, a long time living his life as a transgender. And David was radically saved by the blood of Jesus, has come out of that lifestyle. And, I Belong Amen's is ministry. We tagged him the Alphabet Man. For those of you who don't know David, Alphabet meaning LBGTQRSTUV, pick out whatever letter you want. And David, I guess I want to come to you from the other side, because you just heard what Mike said, and you clearly were on the other side. I'm sure you're one of those guys that were working to lobby and all this stuff. David, at the heart of this whole debate that we're seeing, what is at the heart of this whole thing? Do homosexuals truly just want to be equal, or what's really driving this thing?
Pride. That's what the flag stands for. The flag stands for pride. It doesn't stand for homosexuality. It stands for pride. And so it's pride in being able to overcome everybody else and their agendas. So I was blessed to do a referendum with Mike once, and I remember standing outside of the town hall and collecting signatures to have, I think it was sexual orientation, removed from the main state Equal Rights Act or whatever it was. And a homosexual came up and I said, well, wait a minute, let me tell you what this is. And I told him, and I had told him three times, and he says, yeah, I don't deserve special rights. He says, I don't need special or extra rights. I already have my rights. And so some do understand that it is just an overreach, you know. And really what it comes down to is, even after the same-sex marriage was won in the court, the one that was heading that organization said, this isn't even about same-sex marriage. It's just about crippling everything that Christianity says.
Isn't that something? So, David, let me ask you something. What the hell's orientation, David? What does that even mean? If you look at the term, I ought to go to Webster's and look up orientation. I think orientation means that you get comfortable with who you are, know your directions, know your way around. You become oriented to David, what's a sexual orientation? Can you explain that to me?
I have to figure that out, because there is no orientation other than heterosexuality, because that's our design. That's how we're designed. We're designed heterosexual.
Hang on a second. Yeah, go ahead and look up orientation. He's doing it. Go as you're talking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can deny it. We can scream louder than it. We can, you know, we can do all kinds of things to debate it. But what it comes down to is our design through God's lens, right? So your orientation can be anything nowadays. And this isn't about hormones, right? Sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
It'll come back to you, because they're telling us orientation, right? Even though you were born with a penis, you weren't designed to use that penis scientifically, because you have a different orientation. In other words, I guess that means that the compass of your sex drive is pointed in a different direction. Is that what they would mean by orientation? In fact, hang on a second, Dave, because Spencer's getting better and better at this job. I'm about to get him a varsity letter. Spencer, if you can expand that a little bit for me, or Big Joe with his deep voice, what does it say about orientation there, Joe? What's orient? The state of being oriented. I hate it when they do that, right? Usually, generally, or lasting direction of thought. Direction of thought, inclination, or... So if I had an interest, sorry, hate, this is how I get banned, right? If I have an interest in three women, that's just an orientation, right? It's just an orientation. If I have an interest in animals, that would be, is that right, David? Would that just being an orientation?
That would be your orientation. You could pretty much choose in anything you want. And that's where we're at today, right?
Yes.
But see, what a lot of people don't understand is they argue about hormones, right? And it's not hormone. Hormones are a very small part of it. We're talking chromosomes, and we're talking the fact that there are over 2,000 markers that make up a male, that make a male a male. It's not just his chromosomes, and it's not just his testosterone.
And it's not just his sexual desire, right? It's
exactly.
Not just
exactly. See, your desires David, change.
Listen. David, if you were getting into weightlifting, even when you were a tranny, David, if you get in a weightlifting competition with my precious little 110-pound wife, you going to lift more weight, Dave?
Absolutely, because that's how my body was built. Because men are different than women.
Physically, you have testosterone, right?
Exactly. Muscularly, skeletally. Men are different than women. Men have an advantage of even strength over women. And there are some women that can go to the gym and get all pumped up and want to be a man and do manly things, but that doesn't make them a man. You know, there's a man who became a woman, and now he's an MMA fighter, and he's beating women literally to death. And they're allowing it, and they're awarding him for it, you know.
Okay, so listen, here's a question. This is why we're talking about this today. What's the church supposed to do? Is the church in line with this fake science, this anti-science? Are we supposed to voodoo science? Are we supposed to fall in line by that behind that stuff? Come on in, Roger, and then Larry. Come on in, Roger.
Well, the issue I want to raise is I believe I'm a minority contractor now. This is where it's going, Dave.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop. And if you're going to allow a male to say I'm a female, why am I not allowed to say that as a white contractor, I feel that I'm a black contractor?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Where this is heading.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right,
so
man.
I should be able to get all the minority set aside money for my business.
I'm a Melungeon. I really am. I really am. I get you, Roger. But we're going to come back to this. I'm trying to tie up a knot here real good, okay, folks? So bear with me here a second. Let's go to Larry and then Silver.
Yeah, good.
Larry.
It's good to speak with you again, David. Not a long time no see. I'm wondering, you know, you said that the reason that the LGBT movement jumps on this bandwagon so hard is because of pride. Do you think that maybe it's shame that they cover up with a fake pride?
Good question,
well,
Larry.
Yeah, and I would say that because that's part of becoming this, that's part of this identity crisis, right? And that's what it is. It's an identity crisis because they're all transgenders are imposters. They're imposters. And why? Because of their guilt, their shame, their tragedies, their trauma, whatever it was throughout their lives. And that's what leads to their pride. So they're hell bent on making a point and never admitting they're wrong. And that's where the pride comes in, because all it takes is just turning and admitting that you were wrong. That's it.
Okay. So those of you who knew me as a young guy, probably didn't many of you. I wanted to be center fielder for the New York Yankees. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good baseball player. But I had this thing that really, really hindered me, really held me back. Does anybody know what it was that held me back kept me from being center fielder for the New York Yankees? Anybody want to wager a guess as to what that might have been?
Yeah. Size and speed.
You're
pride. 5'7". 5'7". Same thing that kept me out of the NBA. So why can't I all say, well, you know, I may look, I'm 7 foot. I'm really something. You guys are just, you're judgmental.
That's the point. You probably could do that now.
Yeah, probably
right
can.
Now, you could probably do that. And that's what's so horrible is that we have women. There's the woman that married a tree. She's engaging in sexual activity with a tree. A tree.
Oh, man.
A piece
that
of
makes
wood.
It work.
You know, where there's the 50-something-year-old man that divorced his wife and left his children to go become a 6-year-old girl. So why couldn't you say, well, Yeah, you know what? I'm not vertically challenged. You perceive me as vertically challenged. You know, and so
man, that's right. That's right.
When I was in prison, look, Coach, when I was in prison, I was a transgender. I lived as transgender for 20 years, breasts and all. And I went into a male prison. Nowadays,
you wouldn't do that,
they're not
would you?
Putting them in male prisons. They're putting them in female prisons.
Unbelievable.
And they don't even have to live as transgenders. All they have to do is identify.
Jump in here, Mike Heath, because, Mike, it's about more than just transgenderism, isn't it, Mike?
Well, one of the
harder all this, bud.
Well, one of the things that I observed about Rand Paul's comments is it's almost like he assiduously avoided the use of a great four-letter word in this debate. And this is how I believe we achieved our populist victories in the 90s and in the early aughts. And that is the word evil, E-V-I-L, evil. Uh-huh. This is even. Now, why is that so important? Because evil carries with it moral connotations.
Oh.
Not just Christian connotations, but more natural law connotations.
Yeah, can't be saying that stuff, man. Right?
But that's how we are going to win, Coach. And we are going to win by helping Christians develop a spine so that they will speak using moral words like
amen.
Good and evil.
Right this. And wrong. Huh?
Yeah.
Start using some of those things. Let's get old Jack McCarthy in there, then Silver. Come on in there, Jack. You crazy old Mainer. No, Jack?
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
I'm
you
just
go.
Playing my buttons. So Mike.
What kind of buttons you got there? Male or female?
Gender free.
You got to ask them what kind of buttons they are. Don't you be bigoted and tell them what kind of buttons they are. You got to ask them.
They're white buttons. They're white buttons.
No. Don't get us into that, please. Don't get us into that.
I have white privilege, right? This is my white privilege.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, so you use the people's referendum process, a citizen's initiative, to override the legislature, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it's an override, not a simple majority, right? When you have an override, it takes a super majority, right?
Yes.
Okay, never mind. We'll cancel that one. Mike knows where I'm going with that.
Yep.
So the tolerance thing is what makes me crazy. So I have to tolerate your inability to tolerate your own gender. You can't tolerate your gender, so you have to modify your body or your brain or your kid's brain and tell me I have to tolerate your intolerance. I'm sorry.
That's right. They make you modify your brain, Jack. That's what they do. Come on in, Silver.
Well, I heard you call me to read something, and I, by the time I got here,
you were
two people away.
You got something to say anyway. Go ahead.
One of the things that surprises me is how we keep trying to make excuses for the type of behavior that we know is wrong, and we
Christians are talking about, right, Joe?
Huh?
Christians are making an excuse for it. Christians are making an excuse.
They're the only
ones that stand
up against it. They're just
lazy. That's right, and we won't stand up again.
They're just lazy, okay? And
they
have to wake up because they're fixing to lose their country in a big way.
You know, Coach, I had a conversation the other day with a pastor, and this is what a pastor said to me. And now I've spoken at this pastor's church 4 times, and he said to me, you know, David, there's the upper church and there's the lower church. The upper church has all the money and all the resources. He says, but the upper church doesn't want to come off the money because they don't want to offend people. They want to be politically correct because they want to be able to hold on to their money. The lower church doesn't have much money, but they'll empty their pockets out for you. And so it's the lower church.
That's true. That is really true, isn't it?
Stepping out and standing up, you know, and they're getting shut down by their own church, by the Christians. I've had, you know, numerous times, you know this, you know, I've driven to Pennsylvania to speak at a church. And then the night before, the pastor said, oh, sorry, we can't do it. You know, they can't have you come in. It's just too controversial. And that's what it was. It was a board meeting that said, no, we can't have you come here. You know?
Yeah.
So I want to go to men competing in women's sports. Because see, what we have here is this gender dysphoria, right? Which is actually phenomenally in the DSM of the American Psychological Association. It's recognized as a dysphoria. It's recognized as something that's wrong, right? And it's also recognized and admitted by the APA that most boys and girls that identify as gender dysphoric will definitely identify with their correct gender once they get into puberty. That's why they're putting them on puberty blockers at 8 years old. You can go down to the Barbara Bush Hospital right here in Portland, Maine, to the children's transgender wing, and your 8-year-old can get puberty blockers without your
consent. Thank you, Barbara Bush.
Yep, without your consent. And so what it is, they're saying puberty is a disease. That's basically what they're saying. Puberty is a disease. We're going to block it. But blocking puberty is what causes a disease.
I'm going to coach here a minute. Go to what does science say, Spence? Go ahead, Mike.
So how does this proceed, this agenda proceed? Here in Maine, the Christian Civic League of Maine stood up and was victorious until the mid-aughts. Now, the state of Maine is a blue state, meaning that it is locked down, diapered up, and totally antisocial. Yeah, the public is not allowed in the state house or in the Augusta Civic Center, where the legislature is not meeting anymore. Maine has become a dictatorship. One of the things that I learned over the weekend in Aroostook County, talking to insiders, is that the most powerful man in Maine is the chief of staff for Governor Jezebel Janet Kills. He is proudly homosexual. He is, quote, married to the most powerful Democrat in the House of Representatives.
Oh, my Lord.
So they own the electoral
den of thieves.
Why is that, Coach? That's because the lower church, the higher church, whatever church you want to call it, has decided to go mute.
Religion and politics. Jesus loves everybody, right, Mike?
That's right. And they especially won't call it what Christianity has a duty to call this, which is it's a moral evil. That, you know, the church has become like Rand Paul. You know, he makes a great point, and from a political standpoint, he was very prudent in his narrative. But Christianity has a higher standard. We answer to the God of the universe on Judgment Day. And we answer for how accurate and truthful we were in our proclamations and in our actions. And when it comes to this issue of sodomy, which is a political word, Coach, it's a political word. Sodom, it was a city, one of five cities on the plain. It was condemned by God. It was burned up by God because the civilization within the city of Sodom and Gomorrah had deteriorated to the point where a violent male gang wanted to have sex with angels, with male angels.
That's right, brother. That's right.
Think about America compared to that. What do we have in the streets of our major cities now? Violent male gangs. What are they doing? They're demanding, in the name of something called BLM, they're hiding behind race, they're demanding to what? Have sex with one another. They're big supporters.
And make you accept it.
They want to use violence to force you to accept their ideology. We are approaching.
We are approaching
a Sodom moment in America.
I got a stacked up group of people want to jump in here. Let me try to grab control of the show. Go ahead real quickly, Jack. As you elbowed your way in. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but you, Mike or David, any David, how do we respond? Because I'm going to be in a prayer meeting in a few minutes. How do we respond to, you just got to get them saved, and then they will do the right thing. So do we fight or do we just pray?
Great question, Jack.
I say you do both. I say you fight and you pray.
Amen.
You know, what it comes down to is when you're gonna fight, then you have to be ready to one, get isolated and get casted out by your own people, by the church, right? So, and you're not going to be popular. Look, I just spoke to a group of pastors the other day, and one of them said, well, what about their pronouns? Should we use their pronouns? Wow. I said, absolutely not. Well, he didn't like that. He didn't like that. He didn't like that he shouldn't use their pronouns. Listen, your pronouns are your pronouns. If you want to be called whatever you want to be called, I don't care. I'm going to refer to you and I'm going to address you as what God Almighty created you to be. And I don't care if you have breasts and long hair and makeup on. If God created you to be a male, I'm going to refer to you as he and him, because that's what you are.
So, David, you know what? You know what pronoun they're calling me by more and more? A-hole. That's my new pronoun, a-hole.
I resemble that.
We don't know what to do if we win.
I know. Well, we got to talk about that. Okay, so I got up on the screen right now, sex and gender. What's the difference? Folks, this is science. Hang on. I see Roger and Bobby and Rachel. I see. We got a lineup. They want to get in here. Hang on there a second, okay? Historically. So, now, see, what does that mean? That's something that guy, the Rand Paul, would talk historically. What? Hey, I'm going to talk some science here, man. Not historically. Not meaning this is the way it used to be, but now we're evolving here, right? Historically, it says the term sex and gender have been used interchangeably, but the uses are becoming increasingly distinct. Oh yeah? And it's important to understand the differences between the two. Oh, pray tell. Pray tell, right? Hey, put this in the chat. I don't have time to go down through all this stuff. This, put it in the chat so people can read this thing. Because it goes down, talks about what sex is. Well, sex is XX, XY, and then gender and choice. Science ain't even science anymore. Science ain't even science. Let me get Rachel in here and then Bobby. Go ahead, Rachel.
Good morning. Okay, so I just wanted to give my two cents. I think that this is all God's the issue here. We've Amen. This country's developed a God phobia, and anytime you divisit, there's a fuzzy view of God. You're going to have a fuzzy view of the truth. Yes, and these people who are promoting tolerance everywhere, but what they're really doing is they're promoting an intolerance of people of faith.
That's right.
So, Amen. Without God, this is a fairy tale. Morality, it's a fairy tale. And without a basis in some kind of fact and reality, we're dealing with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and people marrying trees. And people need to start tolerating all kinds of speech, including religious speech. This underneath it all is a sexually perverted, motivated agenda. And on the topic of women's sports, we tell you, when I was a kid, there was no girls' sports. We got our math teacher to coach the very first basketball team. And girls have had the right to be able to play in these sports. And now they're just slowly going to take it away. That was really good for me. It was all I had in middle school. Amen. And they just want to take everything. Thank you.
Now, some guy's going to come and run up beside you and beat you, Rachel. Come on in. Who did they say? Bobby Lee? Hey, if you can, real quick, get up that. Hang on, bear with me, folks, because it's worth seeing. Bring up the PragerU video if you could, and then we'll run that thing at 1.5 speed. Come on in, Bobby. I'm sorry.
All right, I want 1 minute to touch on three different topics. Number one, during this show, I've uploaded a Christian persecution video that I pulled off of band.video. 700 Christians herded and being shot and killed. That's just one example of Christian persecution in South Africa, China, and what's coming here. Number two, what happened at a church in Columbus when those witches came in and marched around doing their thing while the congregation sat there all meek-like instead of standing up and grabbing them by the back of their ponytail and laying hands on them and shoving them out the back door with aggression. All right?
Yes.
Now, and the third thing is, and this is going to, I'm going to tie this in with what Mike Heath has said, but I'm taking it further. We need to be aggressive with our language, how we walk.
Bobby's breaking up on me. Is he breaking up on it? Is it on my end or is it on Bobby's end? Okay, great. Sorry, Dave, Bobby, you broke up there too. Yeah, Roger's elbow on his way in. Come on, Roger.
I don't know if I'm next or not, but you had asked earlier the church's response. And
yeah,
my goodness, the pulpit should be saying this is destructive.
It's not loving, Roger.
This is destructive for our society. And this is where this is going. I can't even fathom what is going to take place with if this continues.
I can't either.
It is just.
Roger, let me tell you what's going to take place.
This is a whole different topic, but this is where I believe this ends up. We're also moving in our lifetime. You can marry as many people as you want.
Amen.
Let me tell you further, Roger, where it's going. It's going into adults and children being able to, one, be in relationship.
Yeah. Oh,
because, listen, if your child, if your eight-year-old can determine their gender, then they can determine their sex partner regardless of his or her age or their age.
Yeah. Scary stuff, yeah. David.
Yeah. That's where it's going.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Where it's going.
Now, listen, I learned this when I was in secular radio, talk radio. I got a bunch of you want to get in here. But I got some stuff, some information I got to get out there. I want to play this video. Look. Somebody's being discriminated against here. We could talk about Chris. We could talk about a lot of other things. But watch this video, and you tell me if this is not special rights. Mike Heath said it. Special rights, not equal rights. This is a Prager video, the end of women's sports. Play that at about 1.5 speed. It's only about 4 minutes long. Go ahead.
I've been training to be a championship sprinter since I was 8 years old. With the help of my parents, my coaches, and my teammates, I did it. By sophomore year of high school, in 2018, I was one of the top 5 female high school sprinters in Connecticut. But then, one day, I wasn't. At the state championships that year, 2 people passed me, passed all of us girls, literally. They finished first and second in our races, dominating the field. Were they more motivated? Did they train harder? I don't think so. But they did have an edge, a big one we couldn't match. They were biological boys who said they were transgender girls. Do you think that's fair? Males competing against females? Before you make up your mind, let me tell you a bit about what it took for me to become a top female sprinter. It meant training with my team every day after school for at least 2 hours, working to shave fractions of a second off of my time in the 100 and 200 meter dash. It meant not hanging out after school or going out with friends on the weekends. It meant getting up early every Saturday morning and competing all day at a meet. It meant not indulging in any of the things that might cost me my dream. And here's the thing about the 2 biological males that took the top 2 girls' medals in the state of Connecticut. Their times were not even good enough to qualify them to compete in the state championships on the boys' team. Let me say that again in case you missed it. Their times were not good enough to qualify them for the boys' state championships. But 2 years in a row, they won first and second place competing against the girls. All in all, these 2 biological males won 15 women's state championship titles. Some in the media have accused me of being a sore loser. They tell me to run harder. But the biological changes that males go through during puberty are so significant, they gain an insurmountable advantage in strength and in speed. That's why boys always competed against boys and girls against girls. U.S. runner Allison Felix is an inspiration to me. She's the fastest female sprinter in the world. Her lifetime best for the 400 meters is 49.26 seconds. But based on 2018 data, nearly 300 high school boys in the U.S. alone could beat that record. What we are talking about then is not just boys taking women's trophies, though they are. And we aren't talking about biological boys taking women's athletic scholarships, though they'll do that too. When biological boys are allowed to compete against girls in sports like track, where the differences in performance are so great, we are talking about girls getting shut out, never getting the chance to win or even compete at all. When 2 biological boys took the first and second place spots against me in the 2019 indoor state championship, I lost the opportunity to participate at the New England Championships. I lost the chance to be scouted by top coaches, possibly even to win scholarships. Right now, biological boys are being allowed to set records on the girls' team, deleting girls' records, erasing the achievements of actual girls, and setting a standard probably no girl can meet, no matter how much she trains or how hard she tries. The reason that we have girl sports in the first place is to give female athletes with talent, hard work, and dedication an equal opportunity to shine and be recognized. But girls will never have that opportunity if they are forced to compete with biological boys in sports like track and field, softball, volleyball, or basketball. Women fought too hard for too long so girls like me can have the opportunity to compete on a level playing field. Maybe worst of all, when girls try to object, when we point out the truth, that biological differences in strength and speed between boys and girls are massive and real, we're called bigots. Administrators, teachers, coaches, and other students tell us to just keep quiet and take it. We are told a girl's place is to be seen and not heard. Well, we won't be silenced. We are fighting back. With two other top female runners in Connecticut, I have filed a federal lawsuit under Title IX to protect the rights of women and girls to a fair competition on a level playing field. Please don't turn your backs on us, America. This isn't about gender identity. It's about fair play. I'm Selena Soul for Prager University.
This video was sponsored by Alliance Defend.
All right, here we go. Let's run down the gauntlet here. Let's start with Clay and then Myra and then Randy. Come on in, Clay.
All right, Coach. One thing I think that's going on is they don't care about the transgenders. What they're trying to do is put something out there that's going to make people like us, the Christians that are willing to stand up and fight, stand up and push back, and then they can use the mainstream media to demonize us and make us look like white supremacists and make everybody mad.
Amen.
That's what
Amen.
I think is going on. Here's the other thing, Coach. I drive an hour and 20 minutes to work. Now, how many churches do you think that I pass in an hour and 20 minutes? Now, I hadn't counted them, but I can tell you there's a bunch of churches out there.
Yes, sir.
And here's the thing. These churches are all over the United States. How many people do you think we would, if we filled up every church, how many people would that be? I don't have no idea. But how many went to D.C. on January 6th out of all those churches? So we are weak.
We're doing it to ourselves, brother. We're doing it. Listen, man. Good word. Come on in, Myra, then Randy, then Craig.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. I love you all. David Arthur, you're right. It's all about self-conservation. And Michael, congratulations. You're going to be a great governor, so have you in my prayers. Yeah. You and Janet.
Amen. Yeah. Equal rights, not special rights. Equal rights, not special rights. Randy, come on in. Bless you, Myra.
Yeah, I bless Mike Keith and that's the perfect slogan, Mike. Stay with that. But I want to make this statement, Coach. Women, I'm not saying everybody, all of them, but they're eating the fruit of feminism. Okay? God is bringing the role of the woman back to reality here. Let this play out. We don't want to stop it. We need to let all the women stand up and say, hey, honor us for being a female. This will help the transgender thing fall apart.
Yeah, there's a fight coming within that on the left. There's a fight coming, isn't there, Randy?
Coach, what we do, and this is what social justice platforms always do, they're a problem. People want to stop what God is doing. God is bringing this to just right to the limelight here. Let everyone see it for what it is, and it'll destroy itself. Just we ought to just stand back and let it happen. I think getting involved and trying to get our side of justice on this would be the worst thing for me. So that's
let them eat themselves. I'm ready. Let them eat themselves.
And you know what? That's the same thing they did with the drag queen story time. When it was in the newspapers and in the newspapers and in the newspapers, and everyone's like, oh, can you see? This is horrible. Let it go, because now it's being advertised and put out there so much that parents who aren't Christian and who may not even disagree with transgenderism are seeing bearded men in ball gowns reading stories, homosexual stories to their children, and they don't like it. So that's how it plays itself out.
Doesn't take the Holy Spirit to know that that's wrong, is it? Let's get Craig in. Craig, Coach. Then Betty, then Paul.
Craig, Coach. I think what we need to do is the church needs to understand its role. You are the backstop where we're at in our society. And let's just talk about coaches, right? You see a guy that punts the ball, right? The punter, right? Everybody else is charging the field. If that runner gets past all those other people, who is the last person in line to tackle that person before they make a touchdown? The punter, right? Yep. And because the church that has given up possession of the ball, we're punting it.
Wow.
And if we don't realize we're the backstop, let's also look at it recently to be able to go to a pastor that's ambivalent or blind about this whole thing. The Supreme Court was the backstop to this election. Because and it did not hear the case. It punted the ball because it did not want to hear the case.
Bye, Craig.
And what ensued? Chaos. Chaos has ensued because they did not do their due diligence. So the church, the ambivalent church needs to come. You need to shake them up and say, you are the backstop to this. And if you do not stand, it's gone.
Amen. Good word. Betty, come on in, followed by Paul. Betty, you have to unmute yourself there, dear. Should be able to touch your camera to where you find a little microphone, poke on that, and you should be able to come in. And while she's figuring that one out, let's get Paul in here.
Hello.
Yeah, go, Betty. Go, Betty. I'm sorry.
Hi. I don't know if you remember me. I met you 2 weeks ago in St. Clairsville, Ohio.
I do
now,
yes.
I've been trying to get up every morning, and I had the dog, the service dog. But anyway, this gender stuff really makes my blood boil, you know. And I have a cousin in North Dakota. She marries a guy, and a so-called son-in-law decided that the two-year-old girl didn't want to be a girl because she said, I don't want to be a girl no more. I want to be a boy. And they changed her gender. See, I think that's wrong, too. Some of these parents need to be held accountable for what they do. Because now I wonder what that little two-year-old girl, who is probably about 20 now with a beard, feels about being a boy when really she's a girl.
Yep.
You know? And yeah, if Benny, she was changed back, that changed her.
Welcome.
So, you know, I just think you know, it's just so talk. Wrong.
So, I understand this. Don't miss this. The parents are saying it's okay because they're looking at society and culture, and nobody's saying it's not okay. Nobody's saying it's not okay. So if you're not really a deeply Christian person, and they come along and say, hey, Daddy, you want to do this? You look around, there's no resistance to it. Everybody says it's okay. Oh, okay, cool. Well, whatever, honey. Whatever is best for you. Thanks, Betty. Paul Webb, come on in.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Got you great, bud.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say that, you know, basically, you know, in the 60s, Dr. King marched for equal rights under the law, not special rights.
Not special rights.
And
that's
then
right.
It falls
right.
From there with LBJ. Second thing, there's a slogan we should probably be using now. You know, remember Clinton used in the 96, it's the economy, stupid. But what we need to say now is it's the DNA, stupid.
It's the DNA. It's the morality, stupid. It's the morality, stupid. Yes, sir, because Mike Heath hit it. You're not allowed to call anything good or evil anymore. Good or evil. Right. So let me, I still got somebody on. I'll do my best to get you in. But Mike, I want to give you a couple minutes to respond to what you've heard here. And David, I want to give you a case. So come on in, Mike. You're muted, bud.
Randy Lunsford, yeah, you got me. Randy Lunsford was right. We are winning. And what we need to do is we need to spin them up. We need to spin them up. And because people are waking up. Donald Trump proved that. The political headwinds that he was against were completely overwhelming, and he still got 75 to 80 million votes, and he had everything against him. And so how did he do that? Well, he tweeted insults, and all the goody two-shoes Christians whined about it, but they voted for him. So what's our duty in this matter? Our duty in this matter is to spin them up. I learned that from some Navy guys that like to spin Marine Corps guys up on the ship. So what does that mean? You know, you shrewdly point them this way, and you get them going using mockery and humor and whatever. You spin them up. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do during my governor's campaign.
Amen.
They're going to get angry. They're going to make mistakes. We are going to win this, Coach. We're going to win.
We're winning. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for being here. David, come on in, bud.
You know, it's just common sense. Words matter. use the words that mean exactly what they're supposed to mean. You know, if I meet a transgender girl on the street who thinks she's a boy, then she'll tell me I identify as a boy. Okay, well, what's a man feel like? You know, I feel like a man. Well, what's a man feel like? You can't possibly know what a man feels like having never been a man. We have to start using just common sense and logic when we speak to people and make it so that they understand. They're not going to understand, well, God didn't create you to be that way. They're going to understand, well, what's a man feel like? If you feel like a man, what's a man feel like? They can't answer that question.
That's
you know,
right.
It's just common sense, logical things that words matter, and we can't use their words. We have to make them use our words. Words, we have to take back what the enemy stole, in other words.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum. Man, feel like a woman.
You know, there was a time when I felt like a woman.
Come on in, Rod. Let Rod try to get in here.
No, I think, David, isn't this all just demonic?
Sure,
absolutely.
And the church can't even recognize it, right? The church wants to accept it.
Yeah, the church, I mean, this is demonic. This is nothing more than Satan on the move.
These are STDs, amen. Sexually transmitted demons. That's what they are.
Amen.
STDs, sexually transmitted, that's exactly what they are. You know, and it happens through the molestation, transference, all of that stuff.
Oh, bye-bye, yeah. YouTube. Yeah. My last broadcast well said, on YouTube.
Hey, Coach.
Rog, so, come on. Well, I'm going to let Rog try to get in there. Rog, go ahead, Rog, if you can, man. Just unmute yourself.
My comment was just that, demonic.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. Rog, there's a R-A-J. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
R-A-J. Hey, Rog. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rog.
Sure, it's Rog here in Oklahoma. Randy or R-J. Hey, this is beautiful. And Mike Heath up there, every state, just go to the school board races. They're happening right now. Ask the Democrat candidate, where do you stand on this issue? And right there, you can bring this thing to where if you can expose them as being a leftist Democrat, you should be able to help a decent school board candidate win. And Michael, I've got a son-in-law up in Maine. I'm going to get him involved with you. So,
yes,
this is an attack on family government. Go ahead.
That's right. Let's return some sanity to this whole thing, right? Come on in, Jeff. Let me get Jeff in here.
Coach, I just want to let you know, David Arthur's coming through Ohio the first week of March, 4th through the 11th. Uh-huh. And he's going to be doing the Tuesday night on the 9th in the garage. Last time he had about 42 people there when he came, most ever. We'll have 100 this time. And yesterday, Brett Bull was there talking to me, Ohio Brett.
Oh, Brett.
Brett says, who's David Arthur? I said, brother, I got to tell you about David. So he got one of David's books. He's going to be contacting. But David, he's going around to 88 counties in Ohio, reaching schools, churches, and patriots. So we'll get him running his mouth. But what's going on? Why are you coming to Ohio? And then I guess you're going down to Carolinas or something that first week. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going down to Carolinas to present the Residue Home, which is just what comes next from the Residue Guide. And it's just, you know, I'm just fundraising and going down there to present Residue Home. I'm going to bring one of my guys with me that'll be in the home. But when I come through Ohio, I hope to see all of you. And so, Coach, hopefully you're there too.
Okay, let me wrap it up here, folks. Let me wrap. Any sex outside the bounds of holy matrimony between a husband and a wife is sin. I'm going to say it again, really, really slow. Any sexual activity outside the bonds of holy matrimony between a man and a woman is sin. Can someone out there please explain to me when the church decided that, first of all, it wasn't sin and accepted it as if it was sin, even inviting them in and honoring that union? Folks, all of these problems begin and end at the house of God. That's what the Bible says. Judgment begins first at the house of God. And we're so worried
the church
about being loved. That, first of all, we're so worried about being loved and appreciated. Somebody's in, turned there. Yeah, stop that. Whoever it was. The church has become so concerned with the love gospel if we forgot justice and judgment, which the Bible says the Lord loves. Thanks, David, for being with us. Mike, for being with us. All of you. Share, man. Share.
Amen, Coach. Boom.
God bless y'all. I'll see you. I'll see you live from my multi-million-dollar studio tomorrow at 7 a.m. sharp. God bless.